back from recess, and we're with individuals from the Road and Bridge Department. For a staff departmental update, who would like to begin?
I've got several things to go over. One update, we still have 12 roads closed, and all but two of these are on the Bull Shoals Lake area. Two of them are still closed per structures, the one damaged, and I've got a little bit of information on one here I'll share with you in a little bit. I guess the first item to start on, this is on Sycamore Church Road. And I've researched as much as I can in minutes with the clerk's office and can't find any answers. I don't remember the gentleman's name that lives here. I don't know if you know it, David, or not, but up here on Sycamore Church, it changes to Nolan, but right here the road comes and goes across here and goes up to the old town of Garver. It's that section of road there. Well, my question is that the Sheriff County Road? Do we maintain it? We've got some structure issues right here with this low water crossing.
It's not a county maintained.
It should be a matter of record.
I can't find anything. That's the reason I'm bringing it.
I don't think it's
asking the question.
Has it been maintained by the county?
We've done work here on this structure. And
when
about five, years. 6 years ago, I think we've done some work. I've brush hogged it in the 80s. As far as how much grading.
Randy, was that an old special road district road?
That's what I tried to find out, and I can't find anything. It would have been the Roark Special Road District, and we can't find anything. So that was a question I was.
Let me ask you a question.
I don't know if we're looking at
the
right.
You can't find the road district petitions from Roark, or you can't find this specific road within those petitions?
I can't find any of the petitions or how they done it, unless maybe we're not going back far enough. Okay. I'd just like to find some information on it.
Does Brian Spence live on that road with the transportation?
That was his division.
He was asking about who lived in location.
Yeah, he lives over there. Our new guy lives close to there, too. I don't know. I wouldn't do anything until we could find proof that we're responsible for it.
We graded it like back in the late 80s a few times.
We don't
remember fine if we never played it.
Okay.
Just because the fines had to grade don't mean it.
No,
well,
it does not.
We did
right now, as far as keeping,
I don't remember what year.
I was wanting to keep our state inventory records straight. Right now, we're not claiming it, basically anything on that because until I get a definite answer. So that's kind of where we're at. So I don't know where to look. We researched through the clerk's office, but I don't know where else to look. Or I thought maybe you guys might know if there's certain areas to look where it might be.
There had to be a change, and it all took place in when the special road districts were dissolved. That was during my dad's administration. Ron was here as clerk, and those records.
We can find a little information when Roark Special was dissolved, but I was looking for stuff specific, and I didn't know any of the gentlemen that lived on that road that might have had complaints years ago. So
there was a complete file in a box for the Roark Special Road District for all the roads that we took over. There was also one for the Forsyth, Rockaway Beach, and there was a fourth, and I think it might have been Branson.
Branson would have been one of them.
Because there were four special road districts left when I came into office, and all those were dissolved. But Roark was one of them. There was a full contingency of files in every petition, at least that I knew of, was within that file regarding all the roads. The person that cataloged those for us and made a listing was Dixie back then. So, but That was all housed in the county clerk's office.
Okay. Well, I'll keep researching and see if I can find it.
But the only hope you've got is the clerk's office.
Right.
Because we don't have it up in the commission office. We don't have any records that old.
But since I've been here, there's been questions about special road districts. And that laid Ron within one or two. It was Branson special one or two, and one of those one or two was Roark. And then the other was Forsyth, and the other one was Rockaway.
Right.
Yeah. And when we had to look, the thing that brought us this into attention was the road that cut through out here on H and went all the way through to 160.
That was Ingenthrom Road.
Ingenthrom Road. And that was in a court case.
Yeah, that would have been Forsyth special road.
Well, here's what I'm saying, though. Those files at that point were there because we used them in the court case.
Okay. So I'll see if I can find any more information on that. Where's my agenda? The next item is Buchanan Road, and David and I met with this gentleman. I think, Jim, you may have talked to this guy also.
I did. Thank you for meeting with him.
He keeps bringing up this drainage issue.
That's
not that. Okay. Okay. Our road barn facility here.
The gentleman's name there.
Lafferty, I believe, uh-huh. The gentleman. When we reconstructed this road starting in 2001 into 2002, turned it into a three-line road, realigned it because it had a reverse curve here, took part of the county road lot to use as right-of-way. This is part of the old right-of-way. Yeah. This is how the old road came across here and swung through here and then back up.
Right.
At the, we met with him. He would like this water that's turning down here drained to go elsewhere.
So just to give you a little, just so I can, so what you guys heard, when I went and visited with this gentleman last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, a previous commissioner had this concreted in to this part, basically directing the water to the back of his property. And he is, this, if I'm not mistaken, this part here is part gravel from the road that's washing down and starting to accumulate is what he's saying.
What? Where did this water drain before the concrete?
It kind of just went anywhere.
Sure. Actually, the plans showed that there should have been a 24-inch concrete pipe put across here. What the plans showed.
But there wasn't?
No.
And who has this property?
HCW.
This whole ditch line from this point to here, we concreted a flat bottom V-shaped ditch, so this water can gain some pretty good velocity by the time it gets to this point.
Now, what did, if I'm not miscorrect, that concrete is protecting the water line on the backside.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And erosion.
So one of the things that when I was out there looking, there is a 24-inch or 36-inch right here, around here, going across. His concessions that he's asking for is he's maintaining this right now. He's mowing this and all that. And he says, I don't mind if you guys put a ditch line right here to push the water to this 36-inch line here.
Would you have to put a culvert here?
Uh-huh.
Right.
There's not one currently?
No.
No, we would have to culvert here. We would have to upgrade and replace this one. The one concern he had about an open ditch here is he wanted to be able to still mow and maintain.
Well, this is all our right-of-way, right?
It's all our right-of-way.
I mean, that's not, okay.
He's mowing it, and this is pretty substantial. Or the other thought was, I'm glad you found that 24. He thought there was supposed to be a 24 that went under the road. He thought during this whole construction that there was supposed to be something there, and it wasn't. But
why not do that? Why not put that in if it's on the plan?
It was on the plans originally for, I don't know what reason that was change at that time.
I mean, it's showing the existing plans.
I think it'll stay along the line. I mean, I think...
We would probably have to do a little work here to make sure this ditch is adequate to take it...
To down to here, this area?
I don't know if it was designed to just dissipate out here. I don't know what the plan is for this property. But if the water can run from here to here, it can certainly run from here.
Correct. It doesn't matter.
So I would like to take it to that point.
A day?
Go ahead. We were talking about that. It's,
you have to take it out.
They can put it in a...
But I can tell you that...
3-day process with the concrete. If we want to do that concrete deal before you put your lips out on the...
I'd put it in part at a time to direct traffic.
But we'd want to do it this month versus late August.
Yeah, I'd do it when school's in session.
So we'd have to do it now. But I could talk to HCW here and just tell them we're going to put the plan in.
Run it down. Where does that go to?
Well, it dumps here, and then
original drainage.
I can see where it's doing.
Yeah.
Right,
so all we have to do is, you're saying, is clean up this ditch line, make sure water flows close to the road, and that's what it's for anyway, right?
Right. They do have a road planned here. I don't know what other plans they have as far as development there, but
they haven't done anything here, so it's still undeveloped. So I think that.
There.
That makes the most
sense. Everything's going to be running down along our right of way. Hopefully, we can keep it within.
Pretty tight.
It's pretty tight on this side, but this may be a little slippy.
Are you going to have restricted water flow? Go ahead and go down across Tam over here, though, right? Right here. There'll be a certain amount of water that'll go down through there. It just won't be this.
It won't be this water. We're going to direct it across here.
Yeah, that
there won't be any more of this down here. Now he's going to get natural runoff because
that's a different argument.
Yeah,
well, flows this way anyway.
I think what he's saying is the velocity of that water comes down on a decent rain. He said it's washing all kinds of stuff down that thing, and I understand. But he's also he was pretty reasonable once after a few minutes with him that he understood there's going to be some natural water runoff. But I think the thing is if we could. Put the 24 in.
It's in the plan. Let's put it in.
Well, we looked that up a while ago just to double check because, usually when they have engineer plans, they do something with the water rather than turn
do that.
It like that. And that was...
When you do something like that, do we give notice to the people out there that the roads are going to be closed for
a day or something? Use our programmable signs and we can... let them know like that. We can also put it on the website, basically, when he wants to schedule and plan it. And then they're just going to have to expect delays. I mean, we won't totally close it. We can
half and half.
Oh, I see.
As much as we can. But the other thing, we're going to have to make sure there's no... I know they got some major water lines here. I don't know where all they run.
Down the middle of the road.
16-inch. Water District 3, so...
I can give you some opinion on that. We killed it a couple of times.
Well, I don't want to do that again is the only reason.
It's that line right there, isn't it?
No, it's contour lines. There is a 16-inch, and I'm not sure where...
Where you want to put the horn in there?
Right here. It goes angles across here.
This is the old shop?
No, here's the old
shop. This is way up
the old road. This is up above Lafayette, just above Lafayette.
Here, I got a contact I can put in there.
Here is the old road went in through here. This is that reverse curve that it had in it.
Well, there's a large one. There's a 16 runs right down on the backside.
On the backside of that concrete,
barely
isn't it?
On the backside. That's why the concrete protect it.
Right.
There is a 6-inch here. They didn't locate the time. Nobody knew it existed until we hit it, pulled it up. And this one didn't cross, I don't believe, until we got up here almost at the new school.
So we should be all right. We could be all right.
They'll probably know. This one will probably continue right on down through here, of course, but they'll know where they can locate.
Well, I know there's a flush valve and stuff right in here.
It stayed right along the back side there. We had to crowd it.
We are all right.
We should be fine. Okay. If you guys, if it calls for it, let's work on getting it.
Don't know today about it. But.
So well, the other issue you had is it was vacating some of that right of way, and that's a possibility. I just don't want to give up any more than we have to in case.
I think if we got this done, I think it would settle a lot of the concerns that he's got. You know,
yeah.
I think that's a separate issue. Let's get the culvert done first.
Why is he mowing all that?
What?
Why is he mowing?
Because it would look ugly. He thought.
It actually looks pretty good when he keeps that mowing.
Oh, he looks great.
He can mow it better. We don't have that type of mowing.
He's like, once he cleaned it up. So.
Okay.
You get your mat back.
The day before school started on the new school, we kept that 16.
Before. That was a good time. All right, that was great.
We got TV coverage.
Got TV news? Got some coverage?
We made it.
That's good planning.
Very good. If you wanted some PR. Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road, is that the next one?
Yeah, the structure. I asked Greg River, an engineer, to go down there and look at this structure and made you guys all a copy of his recommendation to try to solve a couple of issues, not just with the damaged deck. Is the amount of debris that comes down the stream bed that plugs up the existing structure, how it's built right now. Also, the alignment, and we want to be able to run quite a bit of water under it without collecting a whole lot of debris. Plus, we want to change the alignment on the, I call it the bluff or hillside of the structure to make it easier for bigger vehicles, trailers, whatnot, to get onto this structure. It's also going to have to be mediated through FEMA because they're only going to basically kind of pay for what replacing what's there, but that's not going to help us with the other issues we got with it.
I'll just give you a better picture of this one right here. The approach on this side over here that's not even, that you can't see, it's terrible. The one on the other side's even,
okay.
You know, it's... you can see that it's going down and does about a 45 or so. But this one has been a project. It's been in...
Here, maybe this is a better picture than that.
It's still going to continue to fill up with gravel and that stuff in it.
Not if we put the right kind of... If we were to raise it up and put some 8-foot by 2 or 3 foot holes through it.
So are you talking about raising the whole surface? How many feet?
Well, we're talking about raising up maybe about 3 feet average. What they were looking at is basically putting in maybe 1, 2, or 3 abutments and using more of a clear span type of box beam type for a deck, a precast type, to where you have a fairly large opening. Even though it's not going to be very high, you can carry a lot of water under it and still capable, not so much to take it completely out of being able to flood, but it would carry a lot of water.
These stem walls wasn't keyed into the solid rock that are on top of it.
They're just sitting on the existing rock structure of the creek bed.
The existing bridge will have to be taken out.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only way it'll work.
And, I mean, their costs... listed there. I mean, they got a couple different ways of doing it. Precast box culvert structures, when you get to putting in very many across there, it's more cost effective to do one clear span type structure than putting all these little boxes side by side.
A FEMA surely will pay for at least half of it.
Well, that's what we're
mitigating.
I mean, we're mitigation through them and to keep this from reoccurring would be one issue.
I mean,
they might consider more because if they're going to have the recurring cost of rebuilding it year after year.
Well, what I'm afraid is if we just put the deck back on there, I mean, we can repour that easy enough. The next event, I mean, it may take out the whole structure or remove this piece again because I don't know how well you can seal one layer onto another one and make it stay there.
There's a really good chance this had a cap poured on top of it. There's a really good chance there was a large tree float down and hit it and caused it to split, and then the water went ahead and blew the top off of it.
That's the cap laying down on the...
Yeah,
that's the cap. That's part of the driving deck that's laying down.
The structural strength of the other, if it did. Yeah. And like I said, the stem walls aren't keyed into the rock or anything.
Just doesn't lay in there right, the whole thing. We sent Randy down to get some easements on this particular side to realign, and the other side needs to be, well, you can tell looking at it, it needs realigned also. So I'm for getting it done.
Okay, so let's talk about the price again here. So engineering services.
Basically, they're just giving right now some ideas on recommendation on what could be put there and kind of costs.
So about
that's all I asked them.
That's their estimated cost.
That's all I asked them to do at this time. I mean, until I was able to talk to you guys, figure out if that would be a feasible project, then, yeah, I would like to have them
make
a set of plans and that type thing.
When you mentioned FEMA, are we looking to get some grant money? What are we looking to do?
This is part of some of our...
So we just got to go through the process of...
We just got to go through the process.
The application process, get the money secured, then do the project. I guess is what you're asking. Is that right?
Right. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have to pay for it up front. They will reimburse, but as we do this, but we'll have to mediate this with them up front so they know what we're planning to put here, and then they'll want to discuss it. So we need to meet with them.
If they go along with mediating and they pay it all, it would be considered a large project, anything above $63,000. If we do it ourselves, of course, this was an estimated cost by hiring it done, correct? So if we do it ourselves, it would be less. And a large project was done different. You had to actually...
Well, there was a certain dollar figure to...
Pay you so much.
Yeah.
Well, it's no different than the project that was did at Lakeshore Drive. Whatever we do there, they're going to evaluate it and make an adjustment on it, and that's probably what they'll do here, but it needs to be done.
Oh, and if we can get a majority of it paid for, we should do it. I mean, absolutely. So
but that's
what do you need then? Do you need someone doing the application? Is Great River going to do it?
Well, we'll need a permit through the Corps for this type of project, and they're well equipped for helping secure them. It will require that, especially if we're going to get FEMA money reimbursed. Everything that you got to have documentation for everything. If you don't have the permit,
set of plans,
then sitting down with them, this is what we want to do, so they know up front before we ever start.
If it doesn't go, do you want to do, Jim? You want to make a motion that would not to exceed, like they've got a $75,000.
What? I'm trying, and you probably know more about this than I do here. I'm trying to get my mind around. We're not doing anything until FEMA says they're going to pay for it, right?
No, we'll have to before then. They may not pay for it for 2 years.
Yeah.
But they have to know about it before we start the project.
Yeah.
They have to know about it.
The project.
And what we plan to do there, they would probably give us an idea what percentage of it they would. They're not going to pay for all of
it. Who is doing the communication with FEMA? Is that Great River?
That would be us.
We have none yet. They haven't even started us on actually filing paperwork with FEMA. Now, we do have this on project with FEMA. I took them down there and showed it to them. So it's on their file, and they even GPSed it.
It was all on their preliminary.
They know about it.
Well, what I don't want to do is get ahead of the game to a point where we disqualify from any funding. That's one concern. Do I think this is a valid project, knowing that it's a good project and we need to do it? Yes. But I'm just trying to make sure we don't do something ahead of the game that causes us to not get the money.
According to the gentleman that I've shown the pre-FEMA, these was FEMA people, I asked him such a question. Do we need to go ahead and rebuild or wait until we litigate? He said, no, you should go ahead and do what you're going to do. Period. Go ahead and do it, because it comes down to the paperwork and filing with the people later. So maybe somebody get a contact with them and ask.
Well, since Great River's kind of involved, could you not have them facilitate this with FEMA to make sure that we've got? I just don't want to make guys. Am I overreacting here? I just want to make sure we don't do something that...
You won't, but you're not overreacting, but your concern is one that's not... We have to go ahead and do the project. It was 2 years before we got the money on the Lakeshore Drive.
And
the project was in 21 days.
So, let me ask you this question, because I remember watching it when our guys were doing it back. We had to build it back because it was a road.
Right.
Okay. FEMA knew it washed out. We had proof that it washed out. They basically said replace it, and then we went ahead and did all the application stuff.
Right.
And that's then we recently got reading down back in 2010. We got our money back. Yeah. I think.
Because see, we haven't had our kickoff meeting to even start filing paper. I went to one meeting at Ozark.
Okay.
That was a pre-meeting, but we haven't even had our kickoff meeting to actually start a process of any of it. But it is on their.
It's on their radar.
It's on their record right now.
They know
about radar. It and where it's at. So, but that, and then that'll determine when we're going to mitigation later if we upgrade it. So that could be I don't have any idea how long that could take.
This meeting that we had in Christian County was basically making aware that we have to have all this documentation, whatever we do to this structure. All permits, everything required for that. If one piece of that puzzle's missing,
that's your part, though, to get done.
That's all our part to get done to make sure all this paperwork, whatever permits required, that type of thing. That's all on us to make sure them's all there.
What we need to do, Randy, is go ahead and do the have a survey done. First of all, we need to have. If Great River started this project,
we need to go ahead and have them
let them do it.
Sit down with them because it may take some of these permits for. Well, we're doing a similar permit for the one there at K Highway. Some of this may take 2 months before we ever get the permit. We can't do anything there without.
And since permit. This is a project, don't we need to get insurance to a contract with them regarding this project? So they need to submit some paperwork for our legal to review it.
So there's some preliminary stuff I can get started and get
I think it's a good project. I think the price is reasonable.
The only reason I bring it up right here is what do you want to do? I just didn't want to go down there and put back what was there when it's not serving the purpose. It's not working. And I don't want to throw good money. Down the drain.
Have the engineering firm do a study. And
that's where we'd need our plans because they was real plain in that meeting up there. Anything especially large like this, you need to have plans and then from anybody involved, such as the Corps or whatever, them permits. As long as everything's in line, all the ducks are in a row, not a problem.
I'm ready to.
Well, I think what we'll do is wait for the contract and we can approve the contract with Great River at that point. I don't know if we need to do anything right now until
we just gave you the nod to move forward.
I'm not asking for any motion. I just want to get you guys' opinion. Are we headed in the right direction?
I think
here?
You are.
And that gives you kind of estimated costs of what we could be built
looking
for.
At.
So looking at.
Okay.
We have a smaller one. This is an older box structure, and this is on Shady Springs. This one can be replaced with a 4-foot culvert and concrete on top of that to act like a low water crossing to replace this structure. We're talking probably around between $10,000 and $15,000 at the most spent on this, and it's replacing an old box structure
that's
right across 125 from the Pro Tem store is a road called Shady Springs that connects from 125 to U Highway. Okay. Above this, we have just some crossings, natural crossings with no concrete, or it crosses the creek, I think, 3 times on that road. The lowest one that has damage to it is an old box that somebody had built there years and years ago. It's got part of an old truck frame as part of the reinforcement. The deck is broke, and you can actually look through the deck right through the structure to the stream bed. It's got a crack in it about that wide. We've got it closed right now. We don't want it to completely break with somebody trying to cross
this
it.
This is the one you showed pictures of the old truck bed and stuff. You showed
yes.
Yeah.
That, and you showed this one to FEMA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all recorded. All
right. This one we want to, we think the easiest way to fix it is use a 4-foot CMP put in there to, and then use concrete and we document. But we'll also need a permit for this one. This one I would just want to run by Great River as far as doing the permit.
So you guys want some coffee?
No,
I think
I'll
give
fine.
You the nod just to go ahead and pursue it too. Because we got a broke bridge, it's got the road closed.
It'll be a minimal fix on it.
But we got to fix it. I mean, the road.
We
got to
fix
it. Yeah.
The only other structure, we got a minor. It's undermining, but it's an easy fix. It can be done with big riprap rock and pouring concrete. It's a Bull Creek slab where the water pours over. We do have concrete there. After a period of time, the concrete gets holes in it, the water boils. It's undermining the actual layer or structure that I poured a new top on in the 90s. We just need to get the water, I'm waiting for Bull Creek, get as low as I can possibly get it, and to where I can get some big rock pile back in that
whole
side and reconcrete it.
Where's it at?
It's the Bull Creek slab there at Round Mountain. I just don't want that to undermine any farther and
I don't know what
start getting way under that
bad
deck.
Money after.
Bad money, yeah.
Isn't that near the SID?
Yeah.
Is it in the SID?
I think it will be.
Hold on, where is it at now?
Bull Creek.
It's the main crossing there at Bull Creek.
I'm trying to pull this map up real fast.
I think that's one of the reasons they had the SID approach.
Round Mountain, right?
Yep.
It's not a good map. But if it's in this area.
Well, that's the spot where Bull Creek is fixing to become a very serious problem. It's cutting our road above it. It's trying to change course because there's so much gravel in it. It's starting to turn.
I know, but what we're saying is we've already had conversations about this. We're not wanting to fix a bridge that's going to be tore out.
There's a SID, Community Improvement District, that's being proposed right in that area. And if that area is approved, which we vote on it Monday, I think, is what our plans are, those improvements would be possibly picked up by the owners of that property and all the improvements of the infrastructure. So once again, planning to do any work on it, like Dan says, it may get torn out anyway and then redo it.
Well, the plans that we had on the other bridge that was proposed for that very area said that that old bridge had to be completely tore out. That's the reason I don't want to fix the old bridge until we figure out here within a week or two of what we're going to do with it.
Well, we'll hold off on that, but I do want to keep an eye on that undermining. I don't want to let it get so severe that it gets way under the driving surface so we don't start compromising it. But, I mean, we'll keep you updated on it. But.
Is it another one that would be FEMA-related, or is it a recurring?
This one, I don't think we had it on the FEMA. I think it's just something that's going to happen when you've got a low-water structure that much water has that much velocity pouring over. It just doesn't have a good spillway apron designed to handle that kind.
All right. Let us talk about that later. At a later
okay.
Day.
Okay.
Something I just wanted to bring up, you guys can think about. We had several of these areas that we've had to close during this last flood event. Some of these we can fix by possibly filling. Some's going to be bigger than others. One of the smallest ones would be like a Remus Road. Bull Shoals got up over it about 2-3 foot, but it wasn't a big long distance. An area like that could be filled in at some point in time to where we don't have to worry about having to close the road, especially if that develops more on the other side of it. Right now there's just two homes, but we did have to close it. Then people did have to find another place until it went down. It's open now. I did have some people come into the office. Graham Clark was one. that they would like to see being able to fill in on that cove, that mm-hmm. area there, because they have to drive all the way out the other way to 86 and come back around. Another area is the one off Happy Hollow that goes to that Williams Landing. These people are they do have an access, but it goes out into Stone County across the private property. Access is another public road. They're afraid they're going to lose that access because this lady's in a rest home, and they're not sure it's a family-owned piece of property that they were letting them cross. They think they may lose that, and there's no other possibility, I don't think. So they're looking for maybe possibly looking at us to fill that in so that one doesn't become inundated.
I would like, if it's possible, because I know that there's some, what's it called, reoccurring loss grant money out there that we can get for damages that we suffer as a public entity because of reoccurring floods. And if we can prove that it's been reoccurring flood and it causes damage, there's grant money in the hazard mitigation program at the FEMA level to fix some of these places that are being affected. Like Dale Road. I mean, look at Dale. It's 75 feet. We just raised 75 feet of it, and we're out of the right. problem. You know, it saves the inconvenience of 100 people or so in life safety issues. Clever Jacob is probably a little bit bigger than that.
That one's going to be one of the bigger That's ones because big. Of the distance, and we're talking, I think that water got as much as 10
but
foot deep
what I, what
in
I was
going to
say
one
is,
area. So.
It would probably behoove you to get with Bob Ashley. And I don't know if that's where you were going to see, because he's talking with FEMA a lot right now with different grants and buyouts because of the flooding.
Okay.
And see, or we can go with a grant writer.
Well, you know, I'm curious because those same funds can be utilized by the private sector,
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So in the one area, we've got the 75-25. So Bob's asking some further questions on the very issue for me, because if that's an alternative for some of these people that we can prove. If they had recurring flood damage, that would be
the formulas are a little harder, and you can, and according to FEMA, you can submit both applications at the same time. And so for us, though, there may be some money that we can fix all these at no cost to the county, just because of the because we've been able to document the past costs, like Dale Road. We spent money, mostly it was time. Redoing that road, you know, that alternate road, which all helps to that grant formula that they're looking at.
Right. Let me share with you, gentlemen, what I was thinking, because I was going to wait until we had the discussion with Bob. But I think that we need to consider as a county commission, and maybe I'd be better off waiting until that meeting, but I want to plant the seed. If we were to bring somebody on board that would work for the county, that will work with Bob Ashley in this area of dealing with flood victims and in dealing with road and bridge on areas where we've had damage because of the flood. So working with both the private and public sector, who in fact will work with individuals that can pursue grants for us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe spend half the time doing that or anything else we want to designate, but be the person that gets out there and starts pursuing this. We've got Bob basically carrying all the water on this, and I think that it would be wise to bring somebody else on board. It would be money well spent for this county to do that in light of what it might actually cost, especially if we were involved in the 25-75, which I don't see happening, but I want to plant that seed. I believe we would be way better off, and we would serve the people better if we had somebody on top of it that would pursue every agency.
Well, and I know that with those grants, in that grant application, if you designate them as the project manager, their fees and salaries are completely paid for on any of the grants. So we could, that would be, and we talked about that with the city of Branson, a little bit of personnel, but I think you're right. Bob needs another, there's just a lot going on. Plus, if we remember, he was supposed to be rewriting the code book, too.
Well, I mean somebody that will work for the commission, that will work hand-in-hand with him.
Right.
And with our guys. For,
I think probably there needs to be temporary easements acquired along these locations for fill-in, where that some of these dig-outs and things like that could be stored in those temporary easements on location by where these fills need to be filled in.
I think more administrative.
And you don't have to. We don't have.
Maybe I'm not understanding.
We don't have to take in a permanent easement, but we can do 2 or 3 year. We'll have the attorney draw it up, however many. But we could do a 2 or 3 year temporary easement if we plan on doing these small ones to start off with. I figured we could do that and have this material that we have a lot of question about that we had. Dirt agreements and all that kind of stuff brought in and stored in temporary easements right alongside wherever these projects are going to be. That way we get them identified and get started on them.
Okay. Two areas that a little bit different on they similar in that they flood, but these are more so in a kind of a sinkhole basin type situation. Church Camp Road there by White River Association is one that is all but at a point of being impassable.
Yeah.
I mean, they were still driving through it. I don't think you couldn't took a car couldn't go through this.
No.
I mean, it
was
filled in.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, though, with what I'm saying. We acquire a temporary easement, store that material there. When we get enough material on location, we fill in the hole and fix it.
Well, like at church camp, I've got a tremendous amount of material at Bradleyville now and at my shop that if we decide to do that, we can put it in place.
But, I mean, there'll be other locations. I think there's two of them that you've got listed. And I think that would be something. You guys understand what I'm saying? We've got dig-outs, we've got dirt agreements, and we've got all this where we're trying to get rid of material. We identify these locations, and we get temporary easements and store that material there until we get enough material with these all this to fill in and correct these problems, especially where these sinkholes are at.
Yeah.
Castle Rock Road is the other one off Old Highway is another one. It's an area that they were down to having to take a tractor through there a couple of times. They couldn't get a vehicle through there, so they'd have to park on one side and take a tractor across to get through these.
So. That'd be something that I would be interested in trying to do is acquire some in that thing. You take care of that, don't you? Temporary easement process.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to store material, it just had to be an area that that people's not going to be able to utilize for a period of time. If they're willing to do that, that we can stockpile or store this material, because some of this may take up an area of, say, 100 to 200 feet square.
No, but you can't close a road off that's been used by the public.
No.
And for any extended period of time, but you could put it on temporary easements. That's where I'm going with what we... I mean, how many loads of temporary easement material do we have on dig-outs, projects,
all those
kind of things?
Got one right here for you guys to approve right now, and this is on, being it's on the lake area, but I mean, we have them all over.
But do you... Are you gentlemen on board with what I'm saying?
Have him
approach that.
I agree.
I hear Dale Cove, the property owner, actually, I had lunch over here, and they came in and sat there, and I visited with them, and they said, you've got a temporary road there that we've used now. We would like to sell that to the county and let you put in what needs to be put in there. And they made that comment to me over there, and I said, well, if we're under 10 foot of water, and I think that's what it was, wasn't it?
It was pretty bad.
Okay.
It may have been 10 feet. It was pretty deep.
Then we would start with either the purchase of the property or using this material that we're talking about in different locations. That might not be one for extended material, you know, to try it.
How far from the
road was, it wasn't moved up very far, if I remember what I...
No, he sits right along the edge of the lake, isn't it?
Yeah. Just, it just...
Johnson, Ebb, Ebb told me, he said that he thought that it never would be underwater to that point because of the dam down there.
Correct. It's high enough that it would be across the water level.
He said, I just sent something to the county.
But we're not talking much property, General. Nice for them to give it to the county. Is that going to happen?
I don't believe that'll happen. It might, but I don't believe so. I wouldn't. I mean, he'd have to be approached about
it. Well, that particular road, you got a choice. Either fill it or we can move the road and build it up there.
The existing
road. And relocate the accesses to the sewer plant.
Is there enough property below that? Because if I don't know whether it lays exactly where the old road went or not.
Oh, well,
is there enough
know.
There I mean, that they would have enough property on the other side that we could let them have? I mean, that's going to be underwater, though. It's not going to be much good to them. Anyway, those are all things for discussion with citizens about.
It'll be underwater until it's flooded.
Yeah. That's the only reason we need the road up and moved.
Next subject is, maybe you guys can answer this. I don't know where this was left off. This is transfer station. Kathy got this letter sent, and supposedly we're supposed to have something completed for a permit.
Yes. We have an engineer hired.
Okay.
It's been a while. The engineer is Inches. Remember, we did that last year. So he probably should have been coming to us so we know what. Does the engineer have it?
I'm not sure.
Okay. What we're trying to do, just so those listening or and our commissioner friends here, we were trying to do many moons ago, probably a year ago, we tried to add two garage door openings to the front of the transfer station building so that we could have residentials out of the central area where the commercial haulers are for safety reasons. We had a design put in place, and the DNR said, great design, but you got to put doors on the entire structure, which if you go to their website on their homepage of the transfer station, they don't have doors on their examples. So they are making us put design doors on this, and our engineers submitted two or three door designs and to no avail yet. So I'm curious to see what this is, but that's what it's about. It's not changing the footprint. It's trying to add those two openings so we can get residential people out of the commercial area so it's safe.
Jim, I'm wondering if we should have Pat write them a letter showing their example.
Well, or Frank. I mean, we can have Frank or Pat.
Yeah, that's Frank would be a good one to do that. And requesting a answer as of why. I know we don't want to get no heated argument about anything like this, but it would be nice to say you have an example here that you're showing us with a...
They don't care.
They don't. I've met with so many DNR people about this transfer station. When I've been in Jeff City, they don't care. I mean, they just don't care. They're following this... What I think we need to do
what
is...
What you're saying is right, Dan. But to...
Couldn't fight it if they wanted to.
Confront them on an issue where they know that they're wrong, they don't care, and that they just bull up. Right. They don't need that. And it's going to be expensive to put those doors in, isn't it?
Oh, it's terribly expensive.
Well, in this letter, they rejected our third door option here. That's what this letter says.
Oh, yeah.
This is the third door option we had, which was a hydraulic airplane door that folded up and recessed. That was our third option. It says that the hydraulic operation is... I'm sorry. The other thing is that we also didn't submit our operations manual.
Let's take this up at a different...
If I don't mind, can I make a copy for... I'll make a copy for Frank, and we can bring it up at our meeting. And then I may talk to Aegis, because I was kind of dealing with this last year. I thought this was...
I thought it was further along than this.
Me too. That was where I was going to use. If you guys don't mind, and I'll get copies for everyone.
Yeah.
Ron, are you good with that?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Got a couple items that I have left on my list. One is safety meetings for all road and bridge employees, at least maybe two major safety meetings a year. We're trying to get your guys' thoughts on that. We generally try to do something as far as the snow rodeo, getting prepared for snow removal, and we kind of use that as part of a safety. I was looking for something maybe in the start doing maybe one in the spring and then one in the
just need to schedule
fall,
them. I think that was a direction given to the other road superintendents that we wanted at least two, and you need to schedule those and carry that out.
Well, I mean, I'd like to, a couple of things. Let's make sure we're using some of the resources. Schedule it, yes. Get maybe an agenda, but we've got Connell Insurance, who is our workman's comp. They can provide help and services and layout.
Right.
I mean, they've done it before. They've helped before, haven't they?
Well, I've used a couple of different areas. LTAP was one where we could find speakers. One big one we done was bringing in, and this was mainly on work zone safety, and I'd like to have a little bit on that. We actually done a two-day thing. One first day was a class training, and the speaker. And the second day, we actually created our own field and actually had guys perform, set up a work zone, used their own vehicles basically out there on at our shop location on Gilbert Lane, using that as a road, and done training, actually hands-on training, and which I thought was great, and I think we kind of need to do something like that. If it's not work zone, maybe something else.
I think we just turn that over to Randy to take care of, and we don't...
And keep in mind that when we get the new road bridge superintendent, that they'll be working with you, but we got to keep on moving forward. You're exactly right. We got to keep on doing that.
I like the fall one. We're always kind of trying to come up with something a little more safety-oriented or more. We try to set up the course where it's more on accuracy, but I'd like to see where most of our drivers, if you're going to be in a snowplow truck, you need to do a little bit of this safety issue, just, if anything, as a refresher type thing.
Mm-hmm. So be great.
The other item, we're currently we have all of our road signs basically on a sign layer in cartograph. We can bring it up on mapping. Our sign man has the GPS unit that he can upgrade and make sure everything that we have out there on the road is correct, and except for our 911 name signs and numbered signs. I'd like for them to be on that layer, too, if you guys don't have any objection to them being on it. So a great part of his work is making sure them are in place and in good shape.
Okay.
So, okay. The other thing's an update. I did check out the hot tank on the Hollister facility. We are going to have to rebuild.
The Mount Branson?
Yes.
Okay.
The one platform, getting up to the control box, a little bit rickety and a little bit weak. We're going to rebuild that to make it a little more secure and safe. MoDOT actually sent two guys to check out the electrical for me. We do have power to it. It does check out. They didn't know much about the gauges as far as the temperature gauge. Exactly how them worked. Give me a couple guys to talk to. I did talk to them, and not a whole lot, so a little bit of trial and error. It looked fairly well straightforward, but until we put oil in it, turn it on, then we'll see where it's going to kick on or kick off at. I'm real not sure yet. The other thing that's going to have to be checked out is there is no gauge, actually, to tell you the amount of oil. What they have is on the very top of the tank itself is just a steel rod that's threaded into an inch-and-a-half type pipe fitting. You take this out, and however much oil's on there is what you got in it. It's just like a big dipstick. The problem is if you've got 250-degree or better oil, you pull this out, I mean, that's going to be hot. You're going to have hot oil on it. Yeah, it's not a very good. I'd like to be able to. They have this whole dome thing insulated. I'd like to uncover that, see if there's an actual manhole lid that we can look in for a couple different reasons. The element tubes that go into the tank is to get an actual measurement to know what level of oil is. We'd like to have about a foot of oil to keep that covered. So at what amount is that we do not want to draw below. And then actually you can go online and create a tank gauge, like a dipstick gauge. If you have access, you can dip down to the level of the actual oil without sticking the stick in there, and you have your calculation numbers on there. It tells you what amount's in the tank. So all those guys got to do is open the lid, find where the level of the oil, you know where not to draw below, so we don't expose these. So
You keep talking about manhole lid. Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's not.
I don't want anybody opening a lid with hot oil in there.
Well, we got to find some way of being able to check, more accurate check on this oil level.
Well, what I'd like you to do is try to maybe, and we could use the state because and get a gauge system. If you've already got an inch and a half threaded hole in the top of it, that gives us access for something to be put in there for an accurate gauging of the deal, whether it be somebody's got something already designed that would work. So that's mainly what I want to try to, have you research it or have somebody research it and find out. I guess we could get with MoDOT and have them do a little work for us.
Just have Jim use the dipstick.
Yeah, or the manhole.
Well, the other thing,
how about to take the action item?
To be able to access this part of the tank, we're going to have to build another platform. The valve to where you load the oil is right on the bottom, but it's high enough in the air, there's no access to it. We're going to have to build a platform that you can get up onto to be able to use this and hook the hose. That same platform can access the ladder that gets you to the top of the tank, where you're going to have some type of gauge system.
Yeah. Do you have a design that you give it out here to Moorpath and let him get that started on that steel structure?
Actually, I was going to build a treated wood osmosis type structure where you can have steps going up to it. On that, I mean, just the one that's there is wood. It's old signpost material. I need that one rebuilt, plus there has to be one built under the center of the tank. You've got no way to reach this valve. It was designed to top load in the distributor. You stand it on top of the distributor, you can access it, but we load through 3-inch hoses. It's a little safer. So still a little bit of work there to make this thing safe.
Well,
you got to make it safe.
Yeah, just go ahead and just.
We should be closing on that property very, very soon.
We got a quick claim deed already.
We've got access to work on it, but we're supposed to physically close on it soon. So okay. I think that you need to make provisions to make it safe because we're moving.
If there's a way to put a gauge that you can read from the ground, that's what I'd love to have. If there's a way of putting one in this, but. We'll have to find out if.
Or maybe, can you,
but it's got to be a gauge that it's got to be a gauge that can work with that type of oil and that temperature. So.
I'm sure them in the state or somewhere, or maybe even I've seen from the email this morning that we got a deal from that where they have the surplus supply. In Jeff City, somebody up there should be able to contact us, Jernigan, or Table Rock Asphalt, or somebody's going to be able to tell you where you can get a gauge to work on that. Because they use hot oil and asphalt all the time. So.
People that design these type of tanks might actually have something that can be retrofitted to an existing tank, too. So,
okay.
I can find out. There's a couple of suppliers out there.
But you're going to need that oil. I mean, you're going to need to start storing oil quick. This is a hurry up and get it done job.
Well, if we get, it's basically we wanted to use it starting off. If he orders two loads and all of a sudden it's raining, we got to go somewhere with his oil. That's where we're going to put it, and then we can use it out of there. But you got to be able to maintain the temperature on it. And as the guys take it out, you don't want them pumping it plumb dry and the thing's still sitting there with the elements on. You're going to get a bad result there.
So. I wonder if the access hole where you pump it out of, you don't suck it out of the top of it.
No, it's got an access point. Just gravity out
surely
of it.
Surely it's got a safety situation to where the access hole, when it runs out, you still have oil before you get to the element.
That's the bad part about this. No, it'll drain it plumb dry.
Well, I'm wondering if we can form, make it move the...
Can we create that type of...
Yes, create that situation to where you have... where you have, if you have to cut a hole in the tank and put a valve or something there, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I guess...
That's where you've got to be careful cutting holes in.
Well, I guess what I would say is get with either an engineering company, get with somebody who can give you some advice on what to do, and let's make it right, make it safe, and get it done as fast as possible because we need the storage. I mean, I think that's the whole, one of the benefits of us buying that is that that tank's there.
Yeah,
right.
Because you broke the other one.
This,
why is he living me?
But this tank wasn't actually designed, or that's not its original design, was a hot tank.
Okay.
It was actually made into one.
Okay.
It's an old railroad car that was insulated with it had electric three-phase elements that was put into tubes inside there. It was made to use as a hot tank. So, and they say it worked good. One gentleman that used it, it's just all the guys that back when they did use it are all gone and retired, and the ones left don't know a great deal about
just
it.
Just get in touch with an engineer.
Yeah.
Just get a design and straighten that and get. I guess what I'm saying is we need to get with the program on it.
That's basically all I got. If these guys have something,
you presented me with the fill dirt agreement.
Yes, I've got one fill dirt agreement. This gentleman lives in the Venice on the Lake area at that address, Julie Lane.
Mm-hmm.
He would like more than three loads, so that's...
And we're over there, and when we have material, we'll dump it?
Right. We do have, sometime later on, maybe in the fall, we're going to have a lot of ditch cleaning and stuff in that area that it'd be good access that we don't have to...
Now, are these perpetual, or do they expire? I mean, I don't
these,
see...
They're good until the guy says, I don't want no more, I guess.
Well,
We've never put an ending date.
Well, I'll motion to approve this, but I think we probably need to talk to our council about maybe having one that expires.
I think so, too.
But okay. I'll move that we approve Bob Rich in Taney County with the Field Dirt Agreement as presented.
Second. I don't know him. I don't know where his place is at.
I'm actually going to go visit with him. I got a work order to actually look at an entrance that he's having problems with. He's plugged up or something.
What I'm saying is these things that we have here, you need to look at every one of them. We need to make sure that we have an easy access, easy entrance, that we're not to take a chance on twisting an axle or anything like that would result in more cost than the benefit.
Right.
So I think that's something else we'll have Frank look at.
Yes, I believe you're right. I think that's what we need to do.
Okay. This simply states that the term of the agreement shall commence upon the first date upon which all parties have signed. This agreement shall continue until terminated by one party or the other.
So we can...
We can terminate it or they can.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the Fill Dirt Agreement with Bob Rich as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Unless you guys have something. Your turn.
I'm good.
You're good? Actually, I'd... I do have one more item, and I'm still checking on this, but this is dealing with the radiator issue we've had with the Sterling trucks. I did send Jillian the latest I had.
Right.
I'm still waiting on Jenkins to get back to me. The factory actually referred me back to the selling dealer, so I've got, I talked to Rex Boone, and he gave me another guy's name up there to talk to. The ones that were previously working on this are both no longer either here or the salesman up there. So I'm working with two other gentlemen to see what they can help us with.
From a warranty, didn't they go from a metal to a plastic radiator and we've had issues?
No. They were a plastic radiator originally. What the issue was is the trucks, the last models that we bid out, we had to get a Mercedes engine because a Caterpillar engine that we wanted originally was not available because of emission. The Mercedes engines that were put in these trucks set a little bit higher, so the radiators that were put in these had to have where a drive line can go through a portion of the radiator, so they're made kind of in an H style.
Okay.
These are plastic, and right out not too long after the warranty had run out, which was just a year warranty on our trucks, all of a sudden our radiator started splitting or breaking because of the stress or whatever. They just weren't holding up. Beans are out of warranty. Of course, they're not going to replace them. But we did find a place in Joplin and one in, I think, another one in Springfield or someplace. Joplin.
The manufacturer and building.
That manufactures them that will fit in here. They're a steel-type radiator, but they're costing us around $1,900 to $2,000 apiece. We've replaced... Wow. All of the dump trucks that we had the issue with, except one. And one of those was involved in an accident in 2010. I think Devin was the driver. That vehicle hit him head on. That vehicle got repaired through the insurance, whatever. Also, the radiator got repaired. Since had a leak, went back to Jenkins. They fixed that. Not a problem. That one still has the original plastic radiator, so it's just a matter of time before we may be replacing that one.
Okay.
We have other Sterling vehicles, but unless they have this Mercedes engine in them that sets higher and has the front pump mounted for the hydraulic system we have on these trucks, they probably won't have that issue.
So one of them just had 18,000 miles on it when it broke.
Wow.
And the warranty was 12.
Yeah, warranty was a year, or whichever occurs first. So.
And you can price the new radiators through the factory, but they're unavailable. So that's why we finally made contact with that Johnson out there.
Well, I just knew that we were working on it, and then we had the change in personnel, and I just didn't want to drop that ball because it seemed like
we need to keep on
that. That's why I kind of started up the whole thing. Not saying that we're not doing our job, but we got to stay on this thing because it's kind of crazy. So.
Okay, well, I'm still working on that issue.
Randy, one thing I didn't hear you mention was the cleanup at Savage down there in the yards. You already got that done.
No, we're not totally complete with that. I think the yard they've got pretty well cleaned up, but we still have some more riprap to install around the box. I still need to do some work, and I need to go down
need
and visit
that easement.
I need to go down and talk to with Stella on the upper side. She's wanting. We need to do something on that upper stream side
to
make this work better. I need to get back down and visit with her.
Yeah,
I haven't been down there to check. The cleanup in the yard should be done in the actual yard itself.
Okay, that's not her property, isn't it?
No, that's on the lower side where it just took all our material.
FEMA will should take care of that.
Now this. Yeah, a lot of this would be covered under FEMA.
You know, the last time we met, you all had mentioned working on Ingenthron Road. What's happened out there?
Ingenthron.
The cut through from 160 to H Highway we were talking about earlier?
That, I've got Archer surveying. Doug Fabian's going to help me. He's going to research that. It's basically just I'm going to get with the property owner, survey it. If we could put the road right where it was originally supposed to be, it's not going to be a problem. It's just when we get time later on, maybe this fall, we'll probably get started on that.
Was that a project that was going to go part way? Were you going all the way through? I don't remember.
I was going to go all the way through.
Is the problem on the H Highway end? Explain that to me. Is that resolved or is that?
That one, we had it surveyed. The fence is within the road right away according to the survey. And so a fence is going to have to move to actually complete that section of road there. But the middle section.
Is that Rick's fence?
Yes. There's still going to be an issue on that end unless we get that resolved.
I believe the last meeting, what was it? Somebody had offered to give land above it on the hillside.
Well,
is that still a possibility?
I don't know. The guy that owns the middle part actually owns that house. That wasn't at one time. I think the land given up is going to be on the part
owns
down.
That house. Are you talking about the house where Bessie lived?
Yes. The gentleman that owns that middle part where the road's non-existent actually owns that now. So.
How far would it move that fence if you have to move the fence?
The fence probably needs to move 12, 15 feet in a couple of places.
That's not going to be an easy task, I don't think.
No.
Will you look in to see if that possibility exists that you had talked about, that being on the upper side, that property?
I think the part they talked about him giving more was down along the creek going the other direction, maybe moving it up away so there wasn't that same issue didn't happen on that.
But
section,
what you're saying is that the survey shows that the fence is on right away.
Yes.
We needed to contact Mr. Brown and see if his offer to move the easement is still
there. Yeah, but that's not at that particular area, right? Is that what you said, Randy?
Yeah. The gentleman that owns that, I'm going to get with him. I had Doug just researching so we'd know where the road's supposed to be down along that creek area between Blevins and the actual crossing, that section that we want to build. The other section coming from the creek up to H Highway, we already know where the road's supposed to. The road already exists. It just needs to be graded and improved. But the fence is in the road. And that's where, right there by where Bessie lived.
When we get ready to do something all the way through, I don't even want to get that point. We just need right away cleared. And it just needs to set in that position. We'll make decisions on getting that all the way through there at that point. But we have to get that far first. And the way I understood it, Mr. Brown was the real estate person that was taking care of it. He said that the individual that owned the property was willing to move the easement from off the fence line so there wouldn't be any argument with the other property owner, and he was willing to move it off build the road.
Is the fence where you turn in off H Highway, between the fence and the house, is that part of the fence in the right-of-way also? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the fence
then
that's
you can't
in the
move
right-of-way.
It without taking the house out at that area.
I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the other property that the person that owns the biggest majority of the property that comes across.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the fence right there on the highway where you get off.
Be taken out.
Now, the gentleman that owns that other section that you're talking about actually owns where Bessie lived now.
He owns that property.
He bought that. But I still ain't going to resolve it. There's another owner between him and the creek. There's two parcels right there, I believe.
The creek, the branches, it's not that far, is it?
It's not that far, but the fence is in the easement all the way to the branch.
Gotcha, okay.
It's not just right there.
We've already
been. I had pictures of the survey in the stakes.
We've been through that, looked at the pins and everything. Whenever it gets to that point, we just go out there and take that fence out.
So, how soon do you want me to start on that, or right now, I'm waiting until we kind of get caught up with some of this other.
Yeah, you don't have to, but it just needs to be on the books to start over at Brent Blevins's place on that other side and come straight across with whatever easement that needs to be moved and take it over to where it turns up the hill, crosses the creek to come out on H Highway.
Okay.
If all that is cleared and made prep for road, then we'll decide what we want to do, and we'll work at it kind of like we did the Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road for years. We work on it a little bit at a time.
Okay, well, I'll talk to the property owner. I mean, he lives right across the lake here that owns that section there that we're talking about, and we can get the survey done on that part, and that won't be a problem.
Well, his willingness to move the easement. The easement lays on in the fence row from Blevins's all the way over. He's willing to move and have basically a buffer zone and donate the easement to the county above there. That needs to be done, and it needs to be cleared from that point on.
Now, right there where Blevins and this property start, there is a big solid privacy fence been built across that. That's going to have to go away. I don't know who put that there, but...
I didn't know anything about that. This has already been a court action.
Okay, well, I'll get some of that preliminary stuff done and where we can... We know where we've got to clear, where to clear, and then we'll get back to you.
I can't think of anything else. I know there's probably one or two things we've talked about. Do you know of anything, Harlan? One thing, and it may be a road that you've got closed now. If you go down Fine Road, Fine Addition, or I don't know what the name of that road is. You get down there so far, and it crosses a little old creek to get to the other side off to the, I think it's on the right-hand side of that, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about?
On Pine Addition?
You go down past all the way to the end.
Okay.
And you make the road kind of turns to the right down there. Goes
back to some of the other roads.
Yeah. Doesn't it turn?
There is a road that goes across, and it goes through a draw.
Is it covered by water now?
Do what?
Is it covered by water now?
I don't think it ever did.
I don't think it ever covered
up. Ever did get up there?
No.
We don't maintain it. There's a public road there. I mean, we don't maintain that.
I had some citizens ask me about it. Okay.
I don't remember it ever getting up that high.
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I will. And happy vacation. He's going on vacation because he had all these extra hours accumulated. So he's looking for things to do. So I told him to come over and mow my yard and your yard, Danny. And
got a little brush hogging needs done.
See you, Dave.
Probably no chance for Renee till the latter part of next week.
I have no idea. I won't know until I talk to her.
Okay.
So.
Well, they'll probably take us a couple of days to get that floor changed out.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I'm supposed to talk with her today.
Don't get off with my red pen, by the way.
I don't know how you understand
it. I brought that down here from upstairs. You may use it.
No. I'll pull up one of my mini three that I have.
That would be yours.
Is there anything else on the agenda for this morning?
Not until
1:15.
Okay, so you approved that, so I can get that sideways here. We finished that. That's county board appointments.
That's at 1:15.
How do we post today's agenda? Do we have anything in the video?
Not anything after our executive, is there?
No.
Can we go in executive personnel?
I'm sorry?
Could we go into executive regarding personnel? I have a couple personnel things I wanted to talk about. I mean, I can do it there, or I can do it at 1:15. 1:15 or 1:30, either one, but, you know.
We can go in now, come back out at... $1:15 for the scheduled appointment?
Yeah, and just talk personnel, because I've got some personnel things I want to talk about, and since our attorneys are coming in anyway, it would be best that we leave as much time as possible for the attorney time. It's strictly personnel, so we can just go in there and stay restricted to personnel. You all right with that?
Well, we were only posted for personnel, so that's the only thing that we can go in
all right.
for.
So I'm going to move that we go into executive session pursuant 610.021.3, which is personnel.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session for the purposes of discussion of personnel under 610.021.3. All in favor say aye.
Danny, aye.
Jim, aye.
Ron, aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carried. We will be coming back into open session at 1:15 this afternoon.
Yep.